We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're reacting to week 17, and we have some impressive RotoViz results to share on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. Week 17 is nearly in the books for most people. The fantasy season is just about finished. And Curtis, we are even more fired up than we were last week because some of our RotoViz brethren are about to finish really big in some of these tournaments. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh man, it's well, I'm going to start off. I guess I'll just start off with the bourbon comment tonight. I never pull this stuff off the shelf because it's so hard to get. This is Booker's, man. And this is Granny's Batch 126 proof Booker's bourbon. And I'm drinking Booker's tonight because you can book a RotoViz championship in the FFPC best ball tournament. I will say there's a less than 5% chance that RotoViz does not win that tournament. There's really only three live teams. Connor O'Driscoll, one of our newcomers in 2021, has just been doing such a great job with his weekly content for the 2021 season, is in first place, and he is sweating 11.5 PPR from Jarvis Landry. If Jarvis scores less than 11.5, and if a combination of Roethlisberger, Najee Harris, and Chase Claypool score less than something like 90 points, then Connor wins $100,000. If Jarvis Landry, $100,000. It is a co-managed team. He would want us to mention that with a non-RotoViz person, just one of his close friends. But obviously, you know, we know that Connor had a lot of influence on that draft. In second place, one of our RotoViz, a fully RotoViz managed team featuring Blair Andrews, one of our co-owners, Colm Kelly, our managing producer for RotoViz Radio, and Sean Siegel, our majority shareholder and chief owner of RotoViz, are in second place. And they need 11.5 PPR points from Jarvis Landry to take down the 100K grand prize and split that pot. And they will take that as long as they aren't also then outscored on the other side coming back by that team with the Steelers trio. So there's really only three live teams as I see it. And the most probable outcome is that RotoViz it finishes first and second. And, you know, what else can you say? I mean, it's incredible that, you know, this contest, which we spent so much effort writing up, drafted so much, so many teams, and not just the guys who are the finalists, but, you know, many of the rest of us as well who made the playoffs and just couldn't make the elite top 12. I mean, we had a lot of skin in this game, and it feels so validating to have two of our teams in first and second there. 125K probably coming back to Team RotoViz for our efforts. So congrats, guys, on an amazing season. No matter the outcome, we promise not to root for one team or the other. we're just rooting for one and two.
Yep.
So Dave, any comments about that? And then let's check in on our teams, because last week we had kind of let the listeners know where we're at. We don't have quite the sweat going on that our partners have going on, but we should still tell the listeners where we stand.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's absolutely incredible to have those teams going one and two. Very likely. Of course, we have to thank Mike Beers, because Mike Beers was instrumental in setting up a ton of things that have helped out everybody invaluably. You know, so got to shout out Mike Dare, but just awesome to see these teams finish as they did.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And I'll drink to that. Hold on.
But I
love you, Mike. Okay. So checking in on our teams, Dave, I had a pretty good sweat going on Underdog for the million. I had a pretty good sweat going on, at one point this weekend. I think I had risen as high as like 18th place. You know, as will happen during the course of the day, things change rapidly. And it was set up, man. It was set up. There was a path where I was going to get all the way up there. If the Seahawks had handled those 1 yard touchdown passes to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett differently, had those gone Penny's way, and had we seen Rashad Penny turn in an Alvin Kamara esque type game, paired with DeAndre Swift getting stuffed multiple times at the goal line, if he could have just outscored Mixon with a couple of short touchdowns and Penny posted another 15 to 20 PPR, it would have swung things wildly a different way. Some of the DK teams don't boost up. Some of the Russ Wilson teams don't boost up. And those of us with the Penny ownership, you know, would have vaulted up the board. So as it stands going into Monday night, I'm in 22nd place. It's going to be a nice handy payout for me. It's not going to be on the 25K or 100K level, but a substantial payout nonetheless. Baker Mayfield is all I have left. I doubt he's going to enter my lineup with Tom Brady having posted, 400 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So I was joking in our Slack that you know, basically, if Baker ends up outscoring Brady, then it books the title for Blair, Colm, and Sean on the other side. Because there's no way he's getting to, you know, that type of output without Landry getting 11.5. You know, so I'm sure, you know, Connor's rooting against me tonight, moving up the boards. But anyway, that's how I fared. Dave, how did you fare in the puppy three?
So it started off nice for about 7 minutes into action. You know, Josh Jacobs had punched one in. I had a couple other players score. I was in 15th place. And boy, oh boy,
oh boy,
did that precipitously fall. You had Diggs dropping a pass off of his hands in the end zone to get me upset. You had Joe Mixon a couple of times when he could have been used at the goal line. You know, Bengals are handing it off to Joe Burrow. James Conner didn't play. So I ended up finishing like towards the middle of the pack. If a couple of those things had broken differently, I might have come away with a little bit more likable of a payout. But, you know, I have finally, like, even in something like this, and maybe I've been here for a couple of years and I reached the point where I just let it wash over me. I know a lot of our listeners out there were in similar spots this weekend. You got to just let it wash over you. I say this so many times, but there's just no sense in letting yourself get so worked up over fantasy football. There's a ton of things that are still out of your control in a finals week, something like this. It doesn't define who you are. You know, you can still be a good fantasy player without bringing home, you know, the big prizes and whatnot. Still enjoy it. Make sure it's fun. You know, even though sometimes it does get very serious, I think that's still the most important part of the whole endeavor.
Well said. Going back to the mantra we've shared so many times on the podcast over the past year: stay positive, work hard, and make it happen. We only have control of the first two. Stay positive and work hard. The players unfortunately have to make it happen, and so that's why we focus on structure and our builds, because you know, as Sean eloquently pointed out in his Monday drop today, structural based drafting, regardless of which structure it is, you know, when applied over a large portfolio of assets that you're managing, puts you in a situation where, you know, you can succeed even if you don't get those individual player choices right in specific drafts, you're likely to set yourself up with these types of teams. And it plays in, year out, man. You know, we had three teams from Team RotoViz in the top 33 in the FFPC main event last year. This year, we're going to finish 1-2 in the best ball tournament. Probably going to finish in the top 30 of the underdog best ball mania. I mean, and this is, you know, different people from across our ownership team each year. And our analyst team. So, you know, our principals are working on the biggest stages, for sure. And so, just a quick check-in before we run into our, normal Monday fare here, Dave. Through one quarter, Jarvis Landry with one reception for 20 yards. I believe that's three PPR, which would project him for 12 if he gets three PPR per quarter. This is going to be a real sweat for those guys. So by the time you're listening to this in the morning, it will have been settled, unless there's some crazy stat corrections or something like that. But man, just, you know, live looking at the updates, these guys have no fingernails left for sure.
Oh my God. Well, you know what the fun thing about this is? This is the first time of the entire season where it's actually, where we're actually able to make sense. Cause you know, we all have so many teams and there's so many different, like, you know, balls in the air. We actually know what is driving an outcome, which is pretty exciting, which hits to your point you know, how like a lot of this comes down to doing things correctly across all of your teams, which is to just get back to why I say I don't get that upset now, because I realize that the things I'm doing will work in the long run, but you realize how sometimes specific teams, it's just not going to work out for. But when you have all of these teams, it's practically impossible sometimes to know what you should be rooting for. But tonight we know. And with that, Curtis, who do you have for the player of the week?
It's going to be very obvious, but I am going to, tip my cap to one of my favorite and most rostered players across all formats over the past couple of years. Rashad Penny gave a valiant effort, in trying to get my player of the week nod. Not happening this week because Ja'Marr Chase broke the box score. Just absolutely scorched the earth, man. 12 targets, 11 receptions, 266 receiving yards, 3 receiving touchdowns. He had a 55.5% air yard share for the Bengals with 146 air yards. Actually outpaced his air yards with his yak, 153 yak in one game.
Oh my God.
It's nuts. 153 yak in one game. 22.7 EPA. In standard leagues would have scored 44.6 in half PPR. He scored 50.1 for those of you keeping track on Underdog and other similar platforms, 55.6 PPR across most of the major contest. Just an absolutely crazy, crazy line. And, I mentioned Sean's article a few minutes ago, his Monday article, and he, you know, gave a nod, obviously thanking, you know, Chase for that output. And you know, it was actually the best wide receiver fantasy playoff performance since the year 2000. We'd seen a lot of pretty crazy PPR performances. Terrell Owens back in 2000 in his famous 20 reception game,
my God,
had held that mark at 54.8. I remember watching that game. That was just, vintage TO, man. 20 for 283 and a touchdown. Drew Bennett, crazy Drew Bennett season in 2004, 53.3 points. The only other player over 50 PPR since 2000 was Brandon Marshall for the Broncos back in 2009 with a dominant 21-202 line for 53 PPR. Chase, he paced them all, man. Again, 11-266-3. Looked every bit the part of the generational prospect that we talked about in our RotoViz fantasy football rookie draft guide back in, you know, the early parts of the year. And I guess in insert sales pitch, our 2022 guide is available for pre-sale now. It'll probably drop here in about 3 weeks after NFL declaration deadline passes. And you can figure out if there are any generational prospects in the 2022 draft that you should chase. But yeah, man, Ja'Marr Chase has got to be the cream this week. Who was the snoozer?
Well, this week's snoozer, I'm not going to say that it's actually their fault, but I would imagine if you were a fantasy player that had him on your team, You are not happy with how things played out in his game. And that, my friends, is Dalvin Cook. Minnesota comes out against Green Bay last night, and that game gets out of hand quickly. Dalvin Cook, who you were hoping would be the guy to get you over the hump to win your championship, rushes 9 times for 13 yards, had 3 catches for 0 yards, and did not win anybody anything yesterday. So unfortunately, Dalvin Cook is the snoozer of the week. All right, let's just move on to game notes. I don't want to say anything more about Dalvin Cook there. All right, we have to talk again about Amon-Ra St. Brown, who possibly, Curtis, if Ja'Marr Chase hadn't been as absurd as he was, potentially could have been the player of the week. Now, Ja'Marr Chase put up 55 points over the weekend, but from week 15 through week 17, Amon-Ra St. Brown, with 84.9 points, leads all wide receivers and tight ends in points scored. That is absolutely absurd. He had 3 receiving touchdowns in that stretch, 25 receptions, ties with Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp for second. Only player with more was Devontae Adams. Had 292 yards, 3rd in yards, just absolutely killing it. The highest target share of any player, 33.7. Now, of course, you know, Justin Jefferson at 35.1. But nonetheless, just hard to understate what Amon-Ra St. Brown did. Now, some of that is going to get lost in the absurdity that Ja'Marr Chase put up and the fact that he was this prospect that ended up being as good as people thought. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't think many people would have seen this, coming to fruition for him in the way that it did, but nonetheless, it is extremely impressive. A player that we're going to have to take a closer look at now, for sure, even though we've talked about him a couple of times as we head into next year. And then on the season in total PPR, actually finishes in at around wide receiver 25. So some impressive stuff for the rookie. That was on just 109 targets, actually. So makes it pretty impressive for him. 803 receiving yards on the year, 4 receiving touchdowns. So when you also consider how much of that was sandwiched into the end of the season, just a real tremendous run for St. Brown.
Yeah, I think what is another potential interesting development with St. Brown, as you look at him over the course of the season, getting involved a little bit as a rusher, 2 carries for 23 yards and a touchdown, had a 2-point conversion. I saw multiple people reference him on various social media platforms on Sunday that, you know, perhaps he's being used in a Deebo Samuel type fashion. And that would certainly be something to monitor. I mean, you know, the Lions do look a little talent thirsty in that offense, primarily at the quarterback position. So, you know, finding creative ways to get the ball in the hands of your biggest playmakers on high percentage types of exchanges is, you know, a way to kickstart the offense. And, you know, the team is smartly, despite all of their challenges this year, the team is smartly driving volume his way, because he's been doing good things with it. And much to the chagrin of DeAndre Swift investors, they were giving him the ball in those high leverage, situations, this weekend. And so, yeah, I mean, hey, you know, this is a player where, you know, if he had cemented in, you know, round 2 draft capital or something like that, you know, we'd be talking about him as a wide receiver 1 in dynasty, that type of valuation. And, this is a, you know, he had a great profile and he slid in the draft, went to what was perceived to be an unfavorable landing spot. And he smashed in spite of the challenges. And so you kind of have to look at him a little bit like we looked at Terry McLaurin. Now, McLaurin did get the day 2, but, you know, landed in a very similar situation where it was like, you know, how's this going to play out for him? And he managed to produce despite a lot of challenges in his way. And, you know, he quickly, you know, climbed up the boards into a wide receiver 2 dynasty valuation territory. And so as our team looks at our 2022 startup draft rankings and also our redraft and best ball rankings for 2022, I think we're going to have to give this player a hard look and make sure that we're not penalizing him for draft capital when he popped as a rookie. And this isn't like a fourth year breakout in a changing situation. This is just clearly a talented player who's succeeding in spite of everything being stacked against him. So yeah, kudos to St. Brown. I will say I'm tilting his performance a little bit. It was the difference in the Sleeper Bowl. The Sleeper Bowl, we talked about this one last week, the last couple of weeks. I ended up facing AJ Dillon of the Packers in the champion in the championship. So that's awesome. He's out there. Not only is he out there on the frozen tundra facing off against the Vikings, he's also sweating his matchup with me in fantasy last night. And which is really fun that to think really about. Fun.
Yeah.
It gave me so much pleasure. I mean, he, you know, smartly picked up St. Brown earlier in the season when one Scott Fish cut him for like the third time. Scott had him on his roster so many times in this league, and it's a shallow bench league. And so he had to keep cutting him, before the sustained breakout had really occurred. And, Dillon had him, and he was literally the difference. I'm going to lose that matchup. I'm going to lose that matchup by something like 16 points or something like that. And St. Brown's breakout is totally the difference. So, I got to tip my cap to AJ Dillon, by the way, taking down all of the fantasy nerds, the Pro Football Player, in the first fantasy league he's ever competed in.
Wow.
Sometimes the gold just sticks, to people. And that's what this feels like for AJ Dillon. So, it was a pleasure competing against him. And, you know, hey, if you're going to finish second in a competitive league like that, everyone wins. AJ will be donating donating $10,000 to a charity of AJ Dillon's choice. Appreciate that classy move by that outfit. Everyone wins when charity wins. So congrats to AJ on that victory.
Wow, that's awesome. That is really fun though to think about him sweating that against you while he is out there. Also, in a game that probably was very significant for a lot of fantasy teams out there. All right, did you have anything for us over in the AFC?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, Mark Andrews, congrats to Mark Andrews setting a Baltimore Ravens receiving yards record. I think that's really great.
Yep.
The tight end position is one undergoing, you know, upheaval, not just in dynasty. I think that correction has been taking place over the course of the season. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone not ranking Andrews or Kyle Pitts of the Falcons at number one, for dynasty tight ends. But I think even as we look to 2022, you know, yes, Kelce had another incredible year, But pending, actually, Dave, pending week 18 results, rather, and now Kelce missed a game, so we have to factor that in. But Kelce, for the first time in many years, may not finish as the overall tight end one in total points scored. And points per game would still be there, but in total points scored would perhaps not be. Andrews holds that designation right now. So changing of the guard, potentially even in redraft, that I think will carry over to 2022 when we start to see those early best ball drafts start in late January.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be something that's very hard to argue with. There's a lot of reasons that this feels like the time. There's a lot of reasons, if you start digging through the numbers too, that you should err on the side of Andrews. Now, I wanted to point out that Dalton Schultz was the tight end 3 and the wide receiver / tight end 9 throughout the playoffs. So weeks 15 through 17, which is a pretty exciting thing for a player that, kind of had some nice spots last year. I don't think people were expecting this type of performance out of him again this year, but heading into the week, he was 4th in overall PPR, 8th in PPR per game, 11th in expected points per game, and had been a tight end 1 in 60% of games. So I think that this is a player that we're going to have to monitor and see how people respond as we head into drafts next year. Because if you do look at the game logs and the way that the Cowboys were running their offense, he was playing a very big role. 8 targets in week 15, 9 targets in week 16. We've actually seen him go over 20% market share a number of times this season, which for a tight end in an offense that has the ability to put up big games is just something that you have to be very excited about. So congrats to Dalton Schultz and anybody that managed to get him on some teams this year. As I did see on some of the teams that I had with him and other teams in some of these best ball tournaments, he was a bit of a difference maker given how well he performed into relation to where you could get him ADP wise.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we had lots of exposure to Dalton Schultz across our portfolio here at RotoViz. I know Sean and I had him on our co-managed teams, and we had him on one of our co-managed ownership teams as well. So those are great notes. I think that Cowboys offense too is one that is going to be really curious in 2022. What's going to happen with Zeke Elliott and his role? How healthy will Michael Gallup be at the beginning of the season or at any point, you know, with the torn ACL, an unfortunate thing that happened. He actually managed to make that catch. Just really tough football play. CeeDee Lamb really kind of underwhelming in year two. Just the inconsistency. He's going to be a top 20, PPR wide receiver. So it's kind of hard to criticize him too much for that. With 1,000-yard receiving season, still one game left to play, but it just didn't feel like he took that next step that everyone was thinking, where he'd really be the focal point of the offense. Amari Cooper, another year older. Schultz potentially has the ability to be the constant while everyone else is jockeying for position. So a good one. Another player I wanted to shine a light on in the AFC is, how do we properly appreciate Brandon Cooks? Like this guy... He's just 1,000 yards. He in 15 games, he has 1,011 receiving yards with Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills and just absolute trash all around him. Everyone knows Brandon Cooks is the only weapon in the Texans offense at any level. He's the only competent player. And he still produces. This guy is a pro's pro. He's a fantasy pro's pro. Total discount. He's going to have one of the highest league winner rates, I think, when we look at the end of year data. Dave, he was such a bargain, going in the late single digit rounds of drafts this year and really just smashed. He's, going to finish as a middling wide receiver too. Had a couple really huge games. Geez, I just have so much respect for player. It would be so easy for him to just not care and not show up and just goes out there and balls. So 26.3% target share, 129 targets, just putting up some of the best numbers of his career when he really had nothing to play for other than pride. So tip of the hat to Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is definitely on my, he's on my short list of players now at this point, where it's just like underappreciated footballer, underappreciated fantasy football producer. He's on my team along with, Jarvis Landry is probably the torch carrier from a career perspective, but Brandon Cooks is certainly right there and nipping at his heels.
Yeah. Well, get this, in eight seasons, has finished. I'm just going to read, I have to read these off because it's just more impressive when you go through rookie year, 21 in PPR per game, ranked 21st, 2015, 20. Next season was 11th, then 18th, then 20th. 2019 was a down year, finished 70th in PPR per game, comes back in 2020 to rank 17th. And then through 14 games, including through week 16, he was 25th last year. Have to see where he comes in this year. But I mean, that is an absolutely phenomenal fantasy performance across eight seasons, especially for a guy that's got shipped around from team to team to team. So he just always manages to do it. Have to love Brandon Cooks. Another note that I wanted to hit upon here, Darnell Mooney. He had some good matchups in the playoffs, but also had a pretty darn impressive playoff run, was wide receiver 12 in the fantasy playoffs, but wide receiver 23 across the year on a team that also had, you know, shifting tides at the quarterback position. We saw Allen Robinson really struggle, not able to put things together. Mooney finishes with 124 targets, 71 receptions, 972 yards, so falls short of the 1,000-yard mark in his first 16 games, four receiving touchdowns. But I just think it's noteworthy because this is another, you know, young wide receiver that might get swept under the rug in some people's imagination as they focus on some of these bigger performances that we're seeing from players. But nonetheless, impressive stuff from Darnell Mooney. And hopefully as we move into next year, continues to get acclimated to that system, playing with these quarterbacks, we'll see him continue to improve.
Last player, maybe similar in skill set to Mooney. Last player I want to highlight, I'm going to go back to the Ravens. And highlight Marquise Brown. And in 15 games, he's currently sitting at wide receiver 17. Did not have Lamar Jackson for what, four of those games? He had Tyler Huntley and
Brad Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Johnson coming off of the couch. And, you know, this is an instance of being a year too early on a player. He certainly looks like a duck, quacks like a duck in 2021, and can't wait to draft him again in 2022. That offense really looking exciting with Rashad Bateman coming on as well. And, so I wanted to highlight that. It looks like he's a player we're going to be able to trust next season. And then the last AFC note I had, Dave, is really not fantasy relevant other than for the playoff challenges. And I do want to take this moment to highlight for the FFPC, I will definitely be hammering their playoff challenge again this year. Really fun contest. If you've never done something like this, we'll be sure to cover it on the site and on the podcast when we put our teams together. I'm sure Dave and I will co-manage one. Yep. For sure. But it's really cool where, you know, you get to draft players to fill out a lineup, but you can't have repeat exposure to players on the same team. We'll understand what the full NFL playoff picture looks like. And let's say, you know, we selected Patrick Mahomes. We couldn't pick any other Kansas City Chiefs for our lineup. And so you only get points for the players in each round that they play, each game that they play. And so there's a strategy within the strategy. It's not just which players do you roster. It's which players do you think will make it all the way to the Super Bowl, and what will the exposure of those players be so you can differentiate your lineup. It's a really cool game. But anyway, what I think will be interesting for that is I'm hearing that the Titans are ready to activate Derrick Henry back to the roster, Dave. And if they can win next week or things bounce right for them, they're going to get that first round bye. And Derrick Henry is going to be healthy and rumbling through the AFC playoffs, potentially as the home team favorite for the Titans. And that is going to be the best version of this season's NFL playoffs that we can get is if the Titans get Derrick Henry back. We'll see teams at full strength. It'd be so exciting. So that is my biggest wish. If I can throw some, you know, positive vibes, mojo out there into the universe for a single player to affect the NFL playoff landscape this year, it's going to be Derrick Henry. I want to see one of the all-time greats, all-time dominant players at the position anyway, perhaps is more appropriate to say, healthy for this playoff push.
Oh, it would be insane to get to see him. I mean, what a story that would be, the return, and then to just come back and just run over everybody. Because, you know, throughout the year, it did not look like anybody was able to slow this guy down. And I coming off of the injury, I don't care. Like, in my mind, I'm still expecting him to just run through everybody. Then if we get the home field advantage for them, it just sets up to be such a fun conclusion. And it will be interesting to see how people actually approach this in that contest, with Tennessee looking like a team that should carry their way through and him being one of the most exciting players. How many people are going to be afraid to actually pull the trigger there? We will have to find out. I had one more note, though, for everybody before we close down here. It's not on a specific player, but Curse, I'm wondering if you kind of saw this, too. Anecdotally.
Wait, hold on, real quick. hold on. Derrick Henry played in 8 games. He's still sixth. He's still RB6 in rushing yards.
Oh my gosh.
This season. So that's all you need to know. 937 yards in 8 games. There's actually only 4 1,000-yard rushers in the NFL this year, pending Monday Night Football. Najee Harris probably will eclipse that mark. But yeah, Derrick Henry, RB6 on the season in less than half of a year. On to your other point.
So I just wanted to bring something full circle that we actually talked a little bit about in the summer that looks like it has bared out. But one of the things that we talked about how was with some of these top level quarterbacks being so good now, we're actually seeing this change in the quarterback position where there is a bit more of a drop off than there was in the past by the top level players and some of the lower level players. And in the best ball tournaments that I was in where my teams advanced through, I haven't actually punched through the data yet, but I grabbed the rosters of all of the teams that made it into the finals and whatnot. And anecdotally, I can say that we are seeing, at least in tournaments, that pretty much all of the teams that advanced all the way through had what I would consider to be very good quarterbacks. So that's something I want to come back to in the next couple of weeks and just wanted to present now in case we don't get it, because I do think that as players start to approach building some of their teams on various platforms, as best ball drafts become available, you know, be it January, February, I think that's something that you're going to want to start to pay attention to, is not ignoring the quarterback position in some of these leagues the way that you might think specifically on Underdog. So just wanted to share that. I'm not sure if you might have noticed a similar thing too in the leagues that you're in.
Oh, for sure. You know, the drop off from QB1 to QB20 was over 160 fantasy points. I mean, you're talking a 10 point per week. So that in a roster managed league, that's obviously very material. But when you stack up, and this is why we advocate for drafting multiple quarterbacks within a tight window. You know, if you have not played best ball or read our best ball content before, you'll get very familiar with this as part of Sean's offseason best ball workshop that he does every year and listening to us apply this strategy in various different ways. But selecting specific quarterback profiles during a specific time of the draft gets you the right combination of players. And so many of our teams across RotoViz featured combinations of Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, yep, among the 4 highest owned quarterbacks. You can find out why 2022, if you buy a RotoViz subscription. It will walk you through that and, you know, also help you identify who those quarterbacks will be next year. But, absolutely did notice that, Dave. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily paying up at the position, but you want to identify those players at the right time of the draft when you're not overpaying, who still have that ability to be difference makers in fantasy.
For sure. And like you said, you know, it's about doing it in a smart way. You're probably going to have more than just a handful of teams, especially in some of these contests where you can draft teams for $5. So there's different ways to do it. There's ways to be smart about it. We have tools that will certainly help. You know, Sean's going to continue to put this stuff out there, but I'm really excited about best ball leagues as we head into next year, because I think that we're continuing year over year to gain a lot of knowledge and we're really starting to see results. And it's just like, it's just so much fun to go through all of these drafts, figure out which players you want to have as your most rostered guys and stuff. You know, we had a good time with that this year. So I'm just fired up already, Curtis, to get into next year. But yeah.
I'm ready to draft, man. I'm so ready to draft. Last year, I felt like I was just really worn out. Even though I had a great year, but you know, we were chatting before the show, definitely going to have my most profitable fantasy year. Last year was great. This year is even better. And I think that has part of it. That's part way to do with it. But then I've also just got so many, appreciative DMs from, you know, various RotoViz radio listeners and RotoViz subscribers today. I mean, just message after message. Thank you so much. Finally broke through, won my first dynasty title, made that, you know, championship in all of my redraft leagues and won several of them. I mean, just over and over and over again. We're seeing the results for the people that are playing alongside us, you know, with our data and our you know, fantasy strategies, and that's also, you know, very rewarding, because I know how good it feels, you know, when I do well in a league, and so, you know, I know that joy that those players are feeling when they perform well in a league too. And so it's just a way, you know, all rooting for each other, coming back to smash in 2022. My last thing that I will say, let's check in on this Browns Steelers game, Dave.
Let's do it.
Oh my goodness. Baker Mayfield is 1-for-10 for 20 yards and a pick.
Oh boy.
So his only completion is still to Landry for 20 yards. So right now, as of 9:22 PM Eastern Standard Time, Connor's feeling pretty good. There's six minutes before halftime. Baker can't hit the broadside of a barn. However, they're going to have to keep passing, because, you know, the Steelers are up 7-0 and they're driving after Mayfield's interception here. So potentially going to be down by 2 scores. Game environment correct for Landry to produce what needs to be produced for Sean, Blair, and Calm. But right now, Connor's got to be the betting favorite at this point in the night.
Well, maybe, you know, the Browns can rely on Jarvis Landry to throw a couple of touchdown passes and that will get the job done.
He has done that.
I'd
like to see the old lefty sling it around there. Yeah. So, yeah, this was great to rehash some of our calls from this year, highlight a couple, you know, key breakout or underappreciated players, tonight, Dave, and also rehash some of our results. Definitely really excited to come back tomorrow and talk about those final standings in the FFPC best ball tournament for our colleagues here at the site. And then, you know, start really getting into, we're going to shift gears quick, man. We're going to start talking the NFL playoff fantasy games, and we're going to start talking about 2022 rookie class prospect evaluation, highlight some of Travis May, Matt Wispy, and Stefan Lako's work as we gear up for the 2022 RotoViz Fantasy Football Rookie Guide. And then, of course, get into early 2022 Dynasty Startup Draft Rankings.
And I forgot to mention it, but Happy New Year, everybody. Appreciate you listening with us throughout 2021, and we hope to have you back in 2022. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.